What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
The NBA playoffs are here, and with FanDuel, your group chat's about to be going off. Because right now, new customers can bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets if you win. And with live bets, your heart emojis will really be racing from tip-off to the final buzzer. Plus, when you win, you'll get paid faster than your friends can send you a victory gif. Or is it GIF? Who cares? You won! So get the word out to your crew and download FanDuel today. New customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets if you win. Make every moment more with FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Official partner of the NBA.
21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You are listening to the Joe Rogan Experience Review Podcast. We find little nuggets, treasures, valuable pieces of gold in the Joe Rogan Experience Podcast and pass them on to you, perhaps expand a little bit. We are not associated with Joe Rogan in any way. Think of us as the Talking Dead to Joe's Walking Dead.
You're listening to the Joe Rogan Experience Review.
What a bizarre thing we've created.
Now with your hosts, Adam Thorne.
This might either be the worst podcast or the best one of all time.
One, go. Enjoy the show.
Hey, guys, and welcome to another episode of the JRE Review. What a fucking good week.
Oh, buddy.
Yeah. really excited about this one.
My boy, Graham.
Todd, thanks for being here, as always.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks for putting up with me left and right, up and down. Let's go.
What makes this week so exciting is definitely Graham Hancock and Randall Carlson. We're obviously going to start there. You know, Graham was really, if you're an avid Rogan fan, which I would imagine there's no other reason why you would listen to this podcast unless you are, unless you're just very strange.
Also, you're very strange, all of you. Love you.
God bless. So are you, Todd.
I love strange people.
Fucking weirdo.
Strange.
But he was like the first legit guest that came on Rogan other than like Comedy Buddies. And I would say legit, but like, you know, he was kind of like not conspiracy theory, but, you know, just like not mainstream thinker for archaeology or the rest of it. And I'm not going to say pseudo archaeologist, especially after what he's achieved, because it's incorrect.
Incorrect? That term is bunk.
Yeah,
because I mean, watch the Netflix series, and if you can watch that with an open mind, I don't care who you are, unless you're uber religious, you are going to have some different thoughts about when humanity actually started.
Dude, ancient apocalypse.
And I take that back. Not when we started, but how smart we were, and how basically the idea is that we had to start over. And there was other people living on this earth that were way smarter than us at the same time, which makes sense. You look at that now. There's people in the Amazon who we know have never touched a computer in their lives, who've never touched a phone, might not even know phones exist.
No.
And you're going to pretend that that wasn't the case back 10,000 years ago, 12,000 years ago?
Yeah.
I mean, they've done the carbon dating, dude.
But think about it. That was a great example that he gave early on. And by the way, his show just hit number 2 on Netflix. I for sure it's going to make number 1, but as of today, number 2 on Netflix. Like, that's huge.
It's so good.
But think about it. We went to the moon. What?
How 1969?
Many?
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And we still have basically hunter-gatherer groups on this planet. Now, it's very small. There's not many of them, but they exist. We kind of leave them alone. So to think that all those thousands of years ago, everyone was always at the same place of development, I mean, there's no better example to say that couldn't be true, especially because it wasn't like they're sending emails back then.
What bugs me about it, dude, is how on earth, I know that people get set in their ways, and yes, you're an archaeologist, and yes, you have this thing that's been told to you over and over and over again. But in my mind, and granted, I'm not an archaeologist, but I feel like if I was, this kind of shit would excite me. I'd be like, oh, like, this makes more sense to me. You're going to sit here and tell me that hunter-gatherers made the fucking Pyramid of Giza? No way. I mean, I always thought, up until, you know, reading more about Graham and listening especially to the 8 episodes, I binged it, dude, on Saturday, watched the whole thing, was fucking obsessed. My kid was sick, so I was, like, able to watch the whole thing start to finish, and my mind, I already kind of knew that the pyramids were older than 6,000 years. I fucking knew it. Because you look at the erosion. I can't remember the guy's name. He did that whole thing about the rain erosion. It's not erosion from water, from like rivers, but it's erosion from rain on the pyramids.
Yep.
It just makes sense to me. It makes so much more sense than to think that hunter-gatherers 6,000 years ago made these from scratch. I mean, it's just that why? Why would hunter-gatherers, not only why, but how on earth would they know to have it line up with the summer solstice? I mean, the sun goes right into the king's tomb. I mean, the shit that they knew planetarily with the stars and astrology, it's unbelievable, dude.
Yeah.
And I am no expert, but I am an open-minded person, and I don't see how anyone, after watching that, could not have at least some doubt that, yes, this makes more sense.
But you know what scares me about all this? Maybe that's how all science is created, all history. We think that that is the best way to think, and I'm not trying to put, like, you know, a wrench in the cogs of the whole working system, because look, it's come a long way. Science has taught us a lot. History has written a lot of things down for us. These academics are super useful. We could have nothing without them. But is there this bias across the board with these things? It's kind of spooky, a little bit, that people can't just, you know, think of all the graduate students that come in on their way to get PhDs for archaeology, for all the different things, and you're telling me none of them were just really coming out and saying, hey, this doesn't make sense. That looks like water. That, you know, I'm too dumb to know. If you put me in front of it, I'd be like, oh, it looks windy. I got to go.
Yeah, but don't you want to ask an archaeologist, how do you explain the Göbekli Tepe? Göbekli Tepe, the one in Turkey.
Yeah.
10,800 years. That's a known fact.
Well,
they did the carbon dating.
They know it's that old.
How do you explain that? You're going to tell me hunter-gatherers made that, and you're going to tell me they made it 5,000, 6,000 years earlier than you thought we even existed on this planet? How are you going to explain that?
I mean, it makes more sense that they could say the Sphinx couldn't have been made that old, you know, that long ago.
And how does that make more sense?
Well, because if it was the age that they're saying that it was made because of the precipitation, water erosion, right, which is what they're seeing, yet there's nothing else that old. And after that theory,
Göbekli Tepe.
Yep, they find how many other things
within like 300 miles,
and it's tough for them to like turn around and say, okay, I guess we were wrong. But I don't get why they have to hold on to the timeline like that. What difference does it make if they just stretch it out?
Because of money, research money, right?
Yeah.
Isn't it because of research money? That's what Graham was saying. They will get cut from funding on any sort of archaeological project if they admit to the fact that shit's older than it was, right?
But why do the people that give them the money give a shit?
Wouldn't you just want
the best answer all the time?
Yeah, but if your answer doesn't align with Christianity and history as we thought we knew it, then you're going to come out like you're a kook. And
do you think that's what it is? Do Do you think
I don't know what else against that? Again, I don't know, but it seems to me the most logical answer is that if you come out and say something that has never been said before, which Graham has been doing since the 80s and has been basically seen as a kook and a crazy person, and they just blame it because he fucking did acid and mushrooms and was, you know, into psychedelics, which I love, dude. I loved when he was like, they've talked about this before, but if every politician just did some psychedelics, how much different this planet would be? That's a whole nother subject, but they can say that because he's done drugs, right? Because they don't know any better. It's like it's a scapegoat. He's a scapegoat for them. And it's easy for them to dismiss what he's saying, right? Which is bullshit.
Well, but it doesn't make sense because you're telling me what, all archaeologists aren't doing psychedelics? Like, you know, some of them are.
No.
He's just a very honest person that talks about his experiences and says, hey, I did this and it enlightened me, or I got something from it.
Are you going to tell me right now, any archaeologist who has done psychedelics, you don't think they believe in at least part of what Graham Hancock is saying?
Dude, he's definitely gaining.
I'm sorry. It makes more sense.
But you know he's gaining kind of...
And granted, we're fans, right? Like, we're fans, so we're biased. But it makes more sense. I mean, I always thought, up until hearing about this younger Dryas, and especially after watching this series on Netflix, I always thought that it was some sort of ancient aliens, dude.
Well, look at this.
It made more sense to me.
Remember that guy, Brian Murarescu?
Yeah, the one who was talking about the ergot in the cups.
Yeah, or sort of psychedelic. And now it's taught at Harvard, which is interesting. So there's avenues. Right, because that probably didn't mess with the overall timeline and therefore the archaeological story.
Yeah,
they were like, hey, we could be open to this. And we want to be open to the idea that ancient cultures may have done psychedelics, which is, you know, I mean, why is that so weird? They did it. It's not supporting psychedelics. And now they teach that at Harvard.
Yeah.
How long do you think, make a prediction, before they're teaching this stuff legitimately at schools? Like, hey.
I'm going to hope within 10 years, but I would say more like 15, 20.
You think so? Still?
I don't know, man.
It's taken him this long to get this much credibility.
You're right. It's taken him 35 years to get to this point. So maybe it'll be a domino effect where it'll come quicker. I hope. I hope, man, because...
Well, you binged that show.
Dude, it was so good.
And you're so busy this week. You have a magazine launch. You got a load of stuff on. I was super surprised that you found the time to get all this in. But I watched 5 episodes in a row. It's so good.
And the whole where they can map what's underneath with the, I forget what
LIDAR.
That's called. Oh, the LIDAR. The LIDAR radar.
Dude,
from above.
Elon. You've got satellites, LIDAR the whole world, please.
And him talking about, Graham talking about all that shit being underneath the Amazon. And him talking about these people, I don't remember the explorer that was there in the 1500s that went all the way through the Amazon and had in his notes all these different huge cultures and societies that were down there.
I think that's like the story of the Temple of the Gold and all the rest of it.
I mean, how about we're skipping around a lot here, but how about the Bimini Road, dude? I mean, that was insane. Like, seeing those 12-foot by, like, 15-foot stones that are basically flat and cut to a perfect line, there is no way that was created in nature. They went underneath them, and he goes under the water, and they have this on film. There's other rocks, smaller rocks that are leveling out these things. There is no way that was not made by man.
Let me ask you this.
Dude.
When they did the...
So dope.
When they showed the illustration of what the water level was like before, so that was obviously above water.
Yeah.
And it looked like a kind of ramp system into the water. When you think about today what that could be, that's like some sort of a dock.
Yep.
but it's also like some sort of loading dock.
Yeah, and bridge.
And when you think of, well, a bridge to what? Like into the water? That wouldn't make sense.
Well, but, no, a bridge to land from where they would dock the boats.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But then think how huge those boats would have been. And that kind of looked like that to me, like the kind of place where we launch like mega vessels.
Yeah.
Now, if those giant boats were made of wood and it was 12,000 years ago, we have zero boat left.
Oh, yeah. We're not going to
come up. It's gone.
Yeah, we're not coming up with those boats.
But those are giant boats.
Well, and to that same point, the maps, when he was talking about in the 1500s, when they, like, that dude in Turkey, I think it was a Turkish guy, who recreated a map from older maps. He created this map in the 1500s, and the island that used to be the Bahamas, the Bimini Island, that was way bigger, right, before it had gone underwater, was on that map, because he was just referencing older maps, and it clearly shows, and also fucking Antarctica was on there. So Antarctica was on a map from the 1500s, and then in the 1800s, there was no reference of Antarctica because we hadn't even fucking gone to Antarctica yet. We didn't even know it was there. But how do you explain, like, how is this not coming up in conversation more often? How do you explain that Antarctica used to be on maps in the 1500s and that Bimini Island, which is basically a sliver now of the Bahamas, is basically nothing? Mm-hmm. And it was way bigger. It was way more square footage because it wasn't under 400 feet of fucking water rise. How do you explain that? That they knew Antarctica was there before, but then in the 1800s it was gone. It wasn't even on the map yet. We hadn't discovered it yet again.
Yeah.
We hadn't rediscovered it.
The only thing that's hard for me is like the first map, when it went down from South America and across, and then they showed those other, you know, archaeologists being like, oh, he got lazy and ran out of room and just like drew it across. Well, number one, I would say that is the laziest freshman college attempt at doing your work. Like, it's not even college. If you don't even space the map out right to where you like completely switch up an angle on a continent, that's silly.
Yeah, you're going to tell me some guy who basically made maps his entire life and that was his profession didn't take it seriously back then?
He was just like...
Like he's trying to pass and get a fucking A grade.
He just ran out of room. But the only thing that's difficult for me when you watch those types of shows is when Graham lined up, well, you know, we took all the water back and then we lined it up and then we drew, you know, the whole kind of continent border. And it fits almost exactly. I guess you just have to take their word for it, right? And I'm just playing a bit of devil's advocate here. I'm like, I want to believe because it's so compelling and I'm excited about it.
Don't we know that that's true, though, that all the continents used to be together?
I mean, dude, I'm happy to believe that that does line up.
How else do you... Yeah, I'm sorry.
How can those other academics just be like so dismissive of it? Can't you show them?
Dude.
Like, how do they sleep at night if they look at the lines and it's exactly the same or almost?
I don't understand it. You would think it as a researcher, you would take into account all of the facts. These are theories.
God damn it, Todd. I don't know who to believe anymore.
Well,
that's all
you
I'm
look
saying.
At you look at you know, they talk about this with cops and detectives. Once they're on a line of discovery, they don't go off of that line.
Confirmation bias.
Thank you. That's it. Yep, yep. That's the term. So once you think you have the answer, you cannot fucking steer away from that answer anymore. You are so set in your ways that it's like your mind cannot think of an alternative idea.
Damn it.
It's true. You see it all the time. Why fucking people get falsely arrested all the time for that shit? Because detectives are like, not only do they need to find somebody to make themselves feel good, but it also makes them feel good thinking that they know the answer. It's like an ego thing, dude.
Yeah.
It's human nature. It's human nature.
Yeah. And you can't blame them in some ways. But now with all these different ancient sites, what about that one in, was it Indonesia?
Oh, the first one, the first episode?
Where that thing is, what is it, the volcanic rock pillars, and it's ginormous, super old, and there's those chambers underneath. We haven't even got there yet.
Yeah, it's right? buried. They're buried,
and
they, yeah.
And it seems like this is the oldest thing that ever existed. And where do you even start with that? And there's still people that are like, oh, these are just natural formations, and it's just up here on the hill.
Dude, it was so compelling to
it
me.
It scares
I get
me, though,
so excited.
These are the professionals that have been doing this.
I mean, look at the professionals, so-called professionals running our fucking countries, man. They're a bunch of idiots.
Dude,
that's what I loved about Graham, though. He was giving so much shit to politicians and archaeologists. I mean, good for him. The fucking guy has been dismissed his entire life, and he doesn't care. He's like, no, this is my life's passion. This is what I believe in. I know that there's ancient civilizations out there, and they're lost, and we are not talking about it. I mean, good for him, man.
Yeah. He's
helped. We wouldn't
strong.
Be talking about any of this shit without him. But the guy's written, what, 12 books about it?
Yeah.
And you're going to call him a pseudo-archaeologist? How many fucking archaeologists have written 12 books? I'm sorry. Not
well,
the, or 12, any books.
12 compelling books. I'll tell you what, none of them have just hit number two on Netflix. And sure, that's not peer-reviewed. That's not in, you know, academia. Fair enough. But there's a lot of bullshit in academia, too. So,
dude, look at what we've achieved in 400 years. They talked about this towards the end.
Mm.
If you can go back 400 years from now and 400 years ago, people from 400 years ago would think that we are aliens with the shit that we can do with our phones and our computers and our technology, planes. You think 400 years ago, if you were like, hey, bro, I'm going to fly around the world. I'm going to go from Egypt to fucking South America in 8 hours. 4 hours, whatever. I don't even know how long it takes.
Yeah, while watching half Netflix videos and having Wi-Fi.
You would think that we were gods.
Mm.
And that's, I mean, it just, I can't say it enough, man.
That's
it
a good
just
point.
Makes
that's
more sense.
Years.
That's only 400 years. We're talking about 5,000 years in difference from 12,800. They think the Younger Dryas happened 12,800 years ago and lasted about 1,000 years. And then they're saying that the next advanced culture, let's say if it Egypt is from 5000 BC. What? Like, of course there was two different cultures in my mind. Like, it just makes so much more sense.
Yeah.
For there to be an advanced culture at the same time there's a bunch of hunter gatherers who are literally know nothing other than we're going to try and kill an animal today and feed our families, and we basically don't have any language. We're basically chimpanzees trying to fucking survive. There's no way that those hunter-gatherers were making these types of things.
Well,
no
think
way.
About it like this. For sure we know that there have been cultures that lasted, like, we don't dispute that Homo sapiens have been around 10,000 years.
Right.
But we're pretty much like, oh, they were all just hunter-gatherers until, you know, right
until
before
Egypt.
The Egypt.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's just say 10,000 years ago, right?
They don't say that, though. They say 5,000, maybe 6,000 years
no,
ago.
No, that's religious people.
Okay.
Yeah, but like, okay. You know, mainstream archaeologists are like, there's definitely been signs of humans
you're right.
for like 10,000 years.
Well, it's proven.
Cave paintings.
It's proven.
You know, a few fossils and spearheads and simple shit, right?
Yeah.
Some clay pots.
Right.
But think about this. Then you have some island, and it doesn't have to be small. I mean, England's an island, and that's done a lot of work in the world.
Yeah.
Right? So you just take somewhere like that. Pretty isolated.
Yeah.
You know, they're not, like, traveling a lot. The rest of the world is just doing their thing as hunter-gatherers. Then you give them 3,000 years of that time where most people stay the same.
Yeah.
Which has happened because even there's hunter-gatherers now. So there are whole branches of humanity that basically can stay the same forever, maybe.
Basically,
now,
until the Industrial Revolution, it's what has happened.
And then you get this one island that just takes its own 3,000 years just to really develop some shit. Dude, that's a long fucking time. it's completely reasonable they could do this.
Yeah, I mean,
and it just blows my mind.
Just think of, like I just was saying, within 400 years, think of what has changed. We fly across the country, and we bitch about if a fucking package from Amazon doesn't get here in 48 hours. We're complaining about it. This is like shit that you can't even conceive 100 years ago.
Here's the thing, right?
That's crazy.
This is what I was thinking. So think of Göbekli Tepe, right? Think about what they built. And then they covered it up to leave.
Yeah, purposely.
And Graham Hancock said it. It's a time capsule. Clearly, that has to be what it is. Why would you cover it up?
Yeah.
You know,
they
okay,
wanted
you
to preserve
it. You don't want
it.
Your stuff destroyed, but there's a message in there for the future. How would we leave it today? Let's say that we knew that the Earth's population was going to be mostly wiped out. Well, we have to build like our own Stonehenge on the moon. Right?
Yeah.
That would be what we would do today. We would do something similar, and we would have to probably cover it up so it didn't get destroyed.
Yeah.
It's
well,
the
don't
only
we have
way.
That? We have that on satellites.
Dude, we can't leave like...
No, no. We have that on satellites. We put... I'm going to fuck this up.
What do you mean
up.
Satellite? Oh, so, the Voyager.
The thing that we put like a disc on there that you could
dude,
read
but the Voyager,
that has like Mozart on it. You know what I'm talking
yes,
about?
But that is headed out of the solar system. It's not coming back to Earth.
I thought it was going around the our Earth's...
No.
That's
gone.
Okay.
It's way gone.
Okay.
That's for aliens to find.
So we would need to put it on a satellite and let it go around the Earth.
Yeah, and the ultimate satellite is the moon.
Yeah.
We would have to put it on there because eventually the
or
Earth
just
would
bury it.
But here, no, but I mean, it depends how bad the... I mean, we already did this, and we're barely figuring out what Göbekli Tepe is.
Right.
But if we put something on the moon, we know for sure to be safe.
Yeah.
We don't know how many asteroids could hit
might
the
take
Earth.
Another 10,000 years for people to find it, but yeah.
But then they would only find it on the moon and think aliens did it. Which would freak them out.
Right. Which is, like I just said, I basically thought aliens built the fucking pyramids until this series came out.
Well, what's the technology shit, dude?
All right, so speaking of Randall, I know we're going off on this one because it's so good, but like when he was talking about the suppressed knowledge that, what was he saying? They've been working on this shit for like 8 to 10 years. He's been talking to this guy. They've been in the Maldives, which is what, like an island off of Greece or something, secretly trying to figure out this sacred geometry. And he straight up said on Rogan this week that within 3 months, I think he said,
dude,
all this shit's coming out open sourced.
Dude.
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Sacred geometry, talking about, and again, if you think about it, if we would have went on a different path, like maybe our ancestors did 10,000 fucking years ago, and didn't do fossil fuels, didn't do cars, didn't do electricity the way we did it, but we figured out some telepathic way and frequency, sacred geometry, which in my mind makes sense. They knew way more about astrology than we even know about hardly today after studying it for fucking the last couple thousand years. Like when was Galileo? The 1500s was Galileo. Like he basically like
barely figured
it out from an apple falling off a fucking tree. And you're going to tell me like, you
know, that was Isaac Newton.
Or sorry, that was Newton. I'm way off. Galileo. What did Galileo,
figured out that the Earth went around the sun.
Thank you.
That
so
we
they
weren't like, you know,
what I'm saying is we knew this 12,000 years ago. They knew these things. If
right.
you look at the, there's no way they didn't know these things. If you look at the pyramids, I mean, there is not a coincidence that this shit lines up.
The way
it lines up.
I don't think I'd ever thought in my life about a different way of figuring out technology. I kind of assumed always, that based on the periodic table and studying any chemistry, which I did for a while, that everyone would just figure out the periodic table and then they would invent things similar. They wouldn't be the same exactly, obviously, if there was like aliens or whatever, or even different humans, but I figured it would be close because they, you know, you're using matter in the same way. But like, think of a planet that had way more plutonium or uranium then like built up coals and like petroleum under the
surface. a different
Well, yeah. They would probably find nuclear fuel way before they would figure out combustion. Therefore, that would be part of their like scientific it's like right. What you have around you.
Yeah.
Right? And maybe since they couldn't drill in the same way, they found a different route of technology. I mean, it kind of makes sense. And they might have used it for different reasons.
I mean, it makes sense if Randall and these people he's been working with, who we don't know who they are yet, if they're going to come out with this stuff within a matter of months and talk about the sacred geometry and using frequencies of the earth, and he was basically saying of every element has a frequency. You're talking about the periodic table. He's saying every element has a frequency.
Dude, that was
wild. If you can figure that out, you can move objects.
God, I hope that's true.
But literally, there's like science behind that. It can happen.
It's just what they've
told us. We don't know it yet.
But if in 3 months he comes back on and it's all open source, this could fucking change things. We've always heard the stories of Tesla.
Yeah. Legend. He said it has a lot to do with Tesla's theories.
And if you don't believe in Elon and he named his company this.
It's very exciting.
And then all of a sudden it comes around that the shit that he was doing, that the FBI, whatever, just took. Look, we're going over, but I don't care. All right, this is my podcast, and I'm excited about this shit. This gets me revved up. Dude, this is a big deal. This potentially could be a big deal.
It's so cool.
Yeah. So if it turns out that the stuff Tesla was working on that the FBI took away because they know they raided him and took all his patents and took all his information.
Yeah, and they've hit it.
But similar things, vibration, free energy. Like
free energy.
Tesla coils, like you name it.
Yeah.
If people are able to make this, yet we've been trying to do fusion reactors and nuclear and like all this other stuff, but there's like this whole other way of doing it.
Wireless energy, man. It's already been proven by Tesla. And if you're going to, I mean, I actually was a little bit... I was a little upset about how they did not talk about, because I've heard of this shit with the ancient alien stuff about how, and I'm probably going to screw this up, but there was some theory that the pyramids were a power source, right? And because there's water underneath and the tunnels and everything else created free power with the water and the rocks being, you know, one side was basic, the other side was basic and acidic. Then there's acidic, but one side was basically a charge and the other side was not a charge. And it was, they were saying that the pyramid could have been a wireless energy source, which if you have an ancient technology that we don't really know about yet, or maybe Tesla knew about, but we hid it, it's out there. And it just, if you look at history, of course they would want to suppress that. That takes away so much money from everything that we've ever done with energy in our lifetimes. The energy companies are one of the biggest fucking monopolies in the entire world. You think they're going to want to let free energy out to the people?
No.
Dude, no way.
No.
They're going to do everything in their fucking power to suppress that.
Well, think about it.
So think about it makes something. Sense, dude.
This is, and not to go off on a tangent, but this is why I'm skeptical on this new crypto crash, because I feel like all the banks have figured out,
totally,
and all the governments, is that they've figured out how to crash it. They actually made this one of their most important things to do.
So that we wouldn't use it?
For like decentralized banking, and they were like, you know what, we can't do this. And they crushed it.
Because they're scared that we're going to take over the banking industry.
Well, but it's just like, you can't give away that type of power.
How about Randall throwing out JFK doing some LSD back in the 60s,
fuck
buddy?
Yeah,
come
to
on.
That. Cheers.
So good. I could go on another half hour, but we should probably get to...
We're going
to
jump over.
Bjorn.
Yeah. Bjorn. I'm very excited. And God damn it, folks.
Dude, watch the series.
Yeah, if you haven't, please, God, watch it.
Ancient Apocalypse.
Let's go on to Bjorn Lomborg.
Yeah.
He, I liked what he said. You know, this is hard for me because, like, I grew up a massive environmentalist. I mean, it wasn't just me making these choices. My parents thought it. We grew up in England. I was a vegetarian. My dad was a pacifist. He was Green Party. Well, that's, like, even more left than the leftist type left that you get in America, for sure.
Yeah.
Amnesty International, charities he worked for, you know. Just he wanted to just care about the environment, period. And it wasn't a very scientific approach, I would say, but it was from the heart. And he was dedicated to it.
It was humanistic.
Yeah.
He just felt like it was the right thing to do, which makes sense.
And these things have stuck with me, which is unusual because now I'm a hunter, right? But also I take Joe's approach. I don't like factory farming. But I want to eat some meat.
Yeah.
So, you know, that took a while to work through. And also, I do want green energy. I do want to not pollute the world and to not wipe everything out. But I've been suspicious as I've grown about how it's done. And you know this because I give you shit about your recycling all the time.
Yeah.
And you'll put all the cans out there and all the cardboards. Let's not get to mention the fact that you barely take them to the recycling. All right?
Settle down.
We're airing out our laundry. but you know what I mean? It's like, where does it actually go? And when they said that a lot of the plastic in the ocean might be that just we were sending it to China because that was cheap and they were dumping it.
Yeah. No,
dude, that kind of makes sense.
And look, dude, I'm open-minded. My mind will be changed as soon as you give me an alternative theory that makes more sense. It's kind of like what we were just talking about, even though I already had a feeling that, you know,
I think his alternative theory was clear. Prioritize what's actually important for benefiting the world moving forward.
Right.
And he kind of broke it down into a few things, like education for kids in the right way. Make us smarter tomorrow. That's important, right? And then, you know, you want to take care of the environment. It's like, well, make energy, which we're all going to use anyway.
Cheaper.
In the cheapest and least negative effect to the environment.
Yeah. No, I mean that he was very compelling with his fracking argument. And I don't know enough about fracking, but again, when he mentioned how...
I feel bad even kind of like supporting that. I'm not going to say I support it. I'm just saying that if what he's saying is true, I'm kind of like, okay, yeah.
If what he's saying is true, it makes sense because if you're fracking, you're getting cheaper, cleaner energy, and you're getting away from coal. Mm. So is that the best plan moving forward right now? Maybe, because it gets rid of coal.
Yeah,
so it's like one step in the fucking totem pole.
100%.
And as much as I hate to say this, man, when he was talking about burn the fucking plastic and put a scrub on the top of the thing you're burning so that you're not putting a bunch of petrochemicals and shit into the air, that does make more sense than just throwing it away, because straight up, you think when you put it in the fucking bin, you're feeling all virtuous, and you know that motherfucking plastic bottle's going into the ocean or the landfill, and it's never going to biodegrade. It literally just ends up in the water table, and then we're drinking it.
Well, it takes a long time.
And I do appreciate Joe, like, kind of like he kept kind of pushing him on that, like, hey, don't you think there's other ways of other than fracking or other than burning things? But he was very fucking European, right? He was like just going with the stats. As much as I didn't want to believe what he was saying, if he's going with those stats and the stats are correct, it does make sense. Yes, we should go with fracking until we can find a cheaper alternative source, because fracking, yes, is way better than burning coal. And if you're in fucking Africa or India and you got to fucking feed your kids, you're going to be burning coal and cow shit and fucking, and wood. You're going to burn anything you need to burn.
A lot of what he talked about was that it's easy for us here to make kind of virtuous decisions.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And that, you know, might not even be the best path to getting there, but it's all on the right side of good. Right. And I only mess with you, but like the fact that you get all this recycling shit here, like it's admirable. You're doing something that you think is right. But I always wonder what the bottom line is.
Yeah.
And then it comes back to what's the greater good? You know, he talked about tuberculosis. We don't worry about it too much here. But right. A lot of the world dies from this.
Yeah, or and malaria, like, right? Like if temperature rises, malaria is going to be a big problem, but we have medication to stave that.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, we do here.
Well, right, but there's...
But a lot of people can't afford it.
Right, but...
So it's easy because we don't deal with it. And then we could say, all right, okay. You know, we got to deal with us, and we can't worry about what's going on over there. But at the same time... Putting massive money into recycling plastic bottles for our own good that end up in the ocean,
yeah, it's silly.
When we could be helping people all around the world, that makes me feel a lot better, I think. It's a tough one, dude. I think it's just a question of exactly what he was saying. There's a lot of problems, and we need a more efficient chart to like be like, okay, what's... really the most important thing and work our way down instead of saying, hey, we're all going to die in 20 years from global warming and flooding and we need to only deal with this and not deal with these other problems. Because let's be fair, that Al Gore documentary came out. Everyone was behind it. I know I was back in the day. And they were like, oh, these things are going to change by 2020. It's going to be such a, or whatever the date was.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's
not. It was by 2012.
Dude, it's not even close.
Right.
They're way off.
And we can speculate all we want. But I think the point of what Bjorn was saying, at least what I got out of it, was we need to continue to do better instead of all this fear mongering. And the fear mongering is not helping anybody. Like, they kept bringing it back to the gal who fucking was throwing soup at the painting or whatever, and like, in the name of climate change.
Right,
that is not the solution. And again, no. That's a very extreme, you know.
Yeah, they're idiots, dude.
It's an extreme instance, but if those types of people on the left and the right would just come together and say, "This is what makes the most sense. Climate change is going to fuck us up for a little bit." But we're going to get through it if we continue on a path of doing better at the rate that we're going right now. It might not seem that way, but if we start talking about, you know, the Paris Climate Accord, for example, we probably won't hit zero emissions by 2050. But if we talked about it in a more realistic way of like, hey, fracking is actually helping the planet more because it's getting people off of coal. Let's start there. What's the next step? Now solar might be the next step.
What about coming back to that guy with the farms that was on the other week?
Yeah.
Love that guy. Love what he's doing.
Bill.
But we just hit 8 billion people in the world. And if this guy... who is like measuring stats says that we can only supply 4 billion people with like the total nitrogen that we have food wise, then we can't change a ton of that. It doesn't mean that these farms shouldn't push forward, right? And innovation will eventually get there, which is a big thing he was pushing on. Like, invest in innovation. Maybe we'll find a way. But for right now, it's like there is a balance to this. It's not like one's not all bad and one's not all good. There's definitely a middle ground in that.
Yeah, and I have a bit of a different take on that one. It's more, again, it has to do a lot with purchasing power, which we have in the West. But the problem is that we try and Will Harris talked about this a lot. We try to fix things with technology always, like taking carbon out of the air. In my mind, that's not the fucking solution. The solution is don't cut down the rainforest for fucking soybeans, okay? You think you're virtuous by being a vegetarian. That's great, but are you thinking about all of the fucking trees that are getting cut down to create those monocrop agriculture fields that are absolutely fucking up the planet just as much as cows walking around and fucking up the planet? Mm-hmm. I mean, in my mind, again, there's a way to do both, but on a more of a steady path. But like monocrop agriculture is not the solution to feeding everybody.
Are you saying we could do both and we have to continue to do both? Or are you saying that we could transition?
I'm saying...
Because honestly, before this week, yeah, I thought there might be a way that we could totally transition, yeah, but we probably have too many people to do that. So we might have to find a different way.
I think
a combo of
I
the
think
two.
That the a combo of technology, and when I say technology, I don't mean taking carbon out of the air. I mean using our skills to go back to this. Look, nature has a way of fixing everything.
Dude, the problem isn't carbon in the air when it comes to farming. It's depleting the soil with nitrogen fertilizer.
Right, but also the carbon is not going back into and getting sequestered back into the ground, which is what needs to happen with plants and animals eating the food and then shitting it back out and going back into the ground with compost and reusing all of those things. Let me get to my point. My point is that yes, there's a combination of both, but dude, taking carbon out of the air is not the answer. The answer is...
It's not even what we're talking about, to be honest.
And no.
You keep going back to it, so I'm trying to figure out where you're going.
Where I'm going is that maybe we can't all eat meat every fucking day. There's nothing wrong with meat, okay? But if you look at our ancestors, we weren't eating meat every single day. There has to be a... I think, and dude, call me out on this if you want, but like... I think the technology that has to do with plant-based meats or growing meat so that we don't need, in my mind, growing meat is the way to do it. There's science behind this. You can grow a fucking cow in a lab now and have a fucking steak that looks exactly like a regular steak that is basically grown in a lab. I know that sounds weird.
No, that's true. They're
but to close. Me, that is the fucking answer. So we have a little bit of both.
Can we buy those online? Should we try one?
I don't know if you can buy them yet. But to me, that's the answer. So using technology in that way, instead of fixing a problem that we have,
yeah,
we alternate and we start maybe fucking growing less cows or we're growing our meat. It's a weird way to say it, right?
We should like talk to our guys at Bioharvest and get them not worrying about resveratrol and growing steak.
Think about what a fucking change that would do if we were growing all of our protein in labs, as weird and scientific and fucking weird as that sounds. It's the same fucking thing. It's just, you're not, then you don't need all these feedlots. You don't need all this fucking land. You don't need cows, you know, living these horrible lives in fucking.
And the rest of the luxury farms could just be.
And the rest of luxury farms are organic and they're more sustainable.
For when you want to treat yourself on your birthday.
There's a way to do it. How the fuck are we going to do that? I don't know. I don't know how we do that other than what Bill Harris kept saying, which is it starts with the consumer and what we buy. Because if we quit buying meat from feedlots, they will quit making it because we will quit buying it. It's a supply and demand.
I really appreciated how it ended when they were like, why are people so worried? Like, what drives these agendas?
Mm-hmm.
And it really came down to it could affect our children. Totally reasonable, right? We're worried about that. The media loves to push catastrophic events, which you know they do. Right?
Yep.
And then once the politicians find out that people are behind anything that could get them votes, they jump on the issues, the dry votes. And that kind of creates that divide. Like, it kind of seemed to make sense because I'm like, why do people get so behind these certain issues.
Yeah, because
especially when we have potential solutions to it,
because we don't want solutions. That doesn't, you know, those clickbait headlines are what gives them money. They need those clickbait headlines that are fear based because they get the clicks. You're gonna click on, you know, something that talks about a solution, or are you gonna click on something that generates fear? Which one are you gonna click on first?
What do you think, if anything, you got from this pod that changes your kind of environmental process? If anything, and it doesn't have to.
The fracking thing was huge for me. And as much as I hate to say it, I mean, if you look at the numbers, I mean, if what he was showing us is true, and you know, I don't know what kind of agenda he would have. He seems like a kind of guy who really wants to get down to the fucking nitty gritty and get down to the answers. I don't think he was lying. I don't see why he would.
He seems to be doing his best.
It made more sense to me. Like, yes, fracking is good if we can control it. And that's the scary part, because, you know, it's the same kind of thing with fucking gold mines in South America. None of that shit's controlled. They're just digging and in ruining water and putting chemicals into the water. But if we could control it, and less chemicals are going to the water and less pollution's going into the air, then yes, that does make sense right now because we have the technology. And it is getting cheaper energy to the people, and it is getting rid of coal. I mean, that is really something that changed my perspective, because coal is so dirty and so of the past and so something we need to get the fuck off of, that it made sense to me. Like, these are the steps, right? We can't just go from no fossil fuels to fucking powered by the sun overnight.
Yeah.
It's just not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we do these things in a more gradual step towards a better, cleaner planet? Because, you know, he talked about the catalytic converter. You know, back in the 70s, fucking there was so much smog in LA, you couldn't even fucking breathe the air.
Oh, yeah, dude. Lead.
And then technology with the catalytic converter changed that.
Mm-hmm.
We can clean stuff up.
They have way more cars now than they had then, and it's cleaner air.
Yeah. And it's
so,
like,
we can have more things and it gets cleaner. We just have to clean it. For sure.
Now, is that a solution? No, but it's a better solution than what we're doing now.
But that's his whole point, and that's really all we're trying to do.
Right.
Dude, tell
me. So that should be the conversation.
Tell me, when you wake up and you've had a bad day and your whole day sucks, and the next day is like 10% better, it doesn't have to be perfect.
Right.
It just has to be a bit better.
And that was...
That's reasonable.
That was, yeah, that's really... I think his point, which made a lot of sense.
I liked it. I'd like to check his book out for sure. Well, let's jump over to the most controversial of the week. Oh, damn.
Hattie Walsh.
Dude, what did you think?
Well, you know, I haven't seen his movie yet. I obviously, we've talked about this. I think there's too much energy going towards this topic. But I'll put it this way. I do think that you should have to wait until you're an adult, till you're 18, to make a decision like, I'm going to cut my dick off, or I'm going to change my sex, or I'm going to take these hormone pills. I mean, it's a shitty situation. What I didn't like about Matt Walsh is he didn't seem very... he didn't seem like he had much empathy towards these people, and that bugged me. I agree with some of what he's saying. Like, I understand that what we're going through is fucked up, and it doesn't seem right. It doesn't seem right to me. And again, I don't understand it because I've never wanted to be a woman. I'm a man, and I've never had this feeling like I'm somebody that I'm not. I felt like there was some empathy. There was a lack of empathy there, which bugged me. Right? Like, what he's saying is right and what these people are saying is stupid.
Right.
Like, there wasn't a middle ground there, but, you know, everyone's entitled to their opinion. And I think it's important to talk about it. I also think that letting a child, and again, I don't have a child who wants to be of a different sex, so I'm trying to be empathetic towards that. I'm trying to be empathetic towards parents who have to deal with this shit because it's crazy. You know, if my kid was 12 years old and was telling me that I want to be a woman, I have a son who's only 2 years old. 10 years from now, if he's telling me, Dad, I feel like I'm a woman, I don't know how I would deal with that. So that's very hard for me to like come up with a concrete answer. But what I will say is I feel like kids are too young to make that decision. And that sucks for them. And it seems like there's this steep slope that's happening. And it seems off-putting that people are like so either for it or against it. That's off-putting to me.
Let's look at it in a different way if we can.
Yeah.
Right. And not like I said to you the other day, not every decision is the same, because you gave the example of like if a kid gets a tattoo at 16.
Yeah.
And then he hates it at 25. And everyone does, because it's like you were 16 when you got it.
Right.
And you got a terrible tattoo. Right. You got like a Pokemon on there. And now you're a grown up. And you're like, what was I doing?
Right.
But that's not the same sort of decision as the things that would inspire somebody that would want to make a legitimate transition. And I believe there are legitimate transitions.
Of course.
I want to make that clear. Of course. And a lot of people should, but there are some people that don't believe that. And I'm saying they're wrong.
Yeah.
And give it a chance. Okay? So, but what is the percentage? So let's say it's way over, which is what Matt Walsh is saying. It's way over, and there has been a spike. You know, you could say that's just like they feel free now and safe, but let's say it's a spike and there's a few kids in there that don't know what's going on, but they get a bit of a support, right? So it's not the same as getting the wrong type of tattoo. That's acting out, and that's doing it, and it's not massively life-changing. And also, it's a smaller
decision. But don't you think some of these children could just be acting out?
Of course. No, I'm saying they probably are.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So you have those ones, right, that are making that sort of choice. Well, how do you go about, like, seeing the difference? And I don't think it's unfair as an adult, as a parent, as their guardian, even if you want to support them, to say, you could be right about this, but let's wait until this one age.
Absolutely.
Dude, I had friends that were like super political at like 12.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that your political affiliation is the same as this energy to change your gender. Of course, that's a different type of decision as well. But they weren't allowed to vote until a certain age. And there was a reason for it. And often, many of those people did change their minds. They were so sure about what they felt, but then they have flipped their parties within their lifetime.
Yeah, and I would say I wholeheartedly, the thing that I agreed about most with Matt was when he was saying how when he was 24, he wanted nothing to do with children, and by the time he was 28, I think, or a couple years later, 2-3 years later, he wanted kids. And he can't imagine a life without children. Mm-hmm. I wholeheartedly agree with that. I didn't want kids, never wanted them, didn't think I ever wanted to be a dad, just didn't want it. And when my wife wanted children, I was like, well, I love my wife. I don't want to get a divorce, so let's have a child, right? Like, that's literally what happened. I didn't want to leave my wife. She wanted kids. We talked about it. We had a child. I cannot imagine my life without my son. It's the most beautiful thing in the world. But so to my point, what if I was to get a fucking vasectomy 2 years ago when I didn't want kids? That's so sad to think about, that I would not have the child that I have now. Or because I thought that way. And I was fucking 38 when I was thinking that. I'm 40 now.
You could have had one of those at 18.
Right.
Imagine that.
But so what? Yeah, like to your point,
I think we're talking about irreversible changes.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
exactly. So that makes sense to me.
That's a lot.
And even at 18, I still feel like you're too young to make that decision. But hey, you should be able to make that decision at 18.
Well, I'll tell you what. Joe got into it with him about gay marriage and other things, and I'm, you know, I don't know what everyone listening's stance was, but anytime someone starts kind of like stuttering and taking a long time to like figure out their answer and umming and ahhing.
Yeah, he was doing
I
that.
I don't trust it.
And Matt was doing that quite a bit.
And also, I don't really trust that stance because it just seems like a lazy example. And you're pulling from like old, archaic, religious, ideological
that
thinking.
May or may not even be anywhere
and not
near
to
true.
Downplay anyone's religion, but also be careful when you're bringing in, you know, thinking from like 1500 years ago and somehow trying to apply it to today.
Well,
like, we're fluid. We're a fluid, ever-changing, ever-evolving humanity.
And this is where more of my liberal side comes in. I don't care who you want to be, what you want to be. I don't care if you're gay, straight, trans, doesn't matter to me. What's scary, though, and like we were just saying, when I'm not trans or homosexual, so I don't know this, but what I do know is that people who are homosexual were born that way. I don't know about trans. I'm guessing it's the same fucking thing. You're born that way. Now, is there a cultural shift where it, because it's more acceptable, more kids want to do it?
Why do you think they're born that way?
I mean, how could they not be?
I don't know. Could it be like trauma that changes them? And I'm not saying that's what it is, but you seem pretty sure on your point,
I don't know either way. Here's my point. I have someone who's very close to me who's homosexual. It's a cousin of mine. He's not going to listen to this, but if he was, he wouldn't care. We knew...
Shout out to that guy.
Shout out to David. We knew that he was different and not in a bad way. We just knew that... I mean, we just knew he was gay, dude. I don't know how else to say it. I'm not... There's nothing wrong with that. We just knew. And even my stepfather, who is so right wing and was so against homosexuality because of the time he grew up and the way he was raised, even he was like, oh yeah, that's clearly he was always that way. So who am I to say that a trans person doesn't feel that same way? If you're going to take the steps to do something like that.
Because you knew him really young?
Yeah, ever since he could talk, dude. We just knew. He played with dolls. All of his friends were girls. He never had a guy friend. He always hung out with women. He was very feminine until the minute he could fucking talk.
No, I mean, look.
That's my only experience with someone from a very young age knowing that, yeah, David's gay.
But you're also allowed your opinion. And, you know, I ask it, but like I had the best man at my wedding was gay.
Yeah.
And... Well, was, still is.
And did he say he always felt that way?
Well, I didn't know him when I was two, but I think so, yeah. And right. I've always supported him. And British people, at least where I lived in England, we don't give a fuck.
Right.
You just got to be cool. Like, at least to be my friend. It doesn't mean I hate you for, like, I just don't like anyone that's annoying.
Yeah.
But that was never a judgment of ours. But it's interesting when I ask that to people because I'm like, they're pretty sure. I don't know either way. I assume that that's true, right? I assume it's true.
Yeah, I mean, how could it not be is the way I think about it. And I also feel pretty strongly about that with trans people. If you're going to go through, and I'm not saying a 12-year-old who thinks they're a man or a woman knows exactly, but there's clearly something within them that makes them feel differently. But I'm not saying they should be on hormones.
I think there might be a difference between... I was just bringing up the gay marriage thing.
Yeah.
I think that being homosexual, man or woman, could be different than the recent people that are deciding whether they're trans or not. I mean, I don't know either way.
Right.
But there's a massive spike, and they want to give them surgery, and that's life-changing.
Yeah.
Whereas if you just decide, I'm gay... or lesbian, you, I guess, could also go back because you haven't physically altered yourself and you didn't do it at 15 or 12 and it wasn't like court mandated, which I feel is a bit of an issue. Yeah, that's reasonable.
Look, I understand both sides, and it's a shame that we cannot just come to an agreement that there's many, many millions of people out there who are different than us, and who are we to say how they identify, right? Whether it's man, woman, he, she, it, they. Again,
100%. I don't disagree with that.
I don't think you do. But what I'm saying is that it ends up being like, I would just love to have someone who is trans on this pod right now, because I don't feel like I have the authority to say much about it. That's kind of how I feel about it. I feel like there's a lot of people, including Joe Rogan and fucking Matt Walsh, who have their opinions, and good for them. There's nothing wrong with opinions. But who are you to say? And age, again, age makes it weird, right? I'm saying for an 18-year-old or above, that is a different story. But dude, why do they care so much?
It's because it's a big issue. Biden just interviewed that transgender TikToker. Like, that's the most important
thing.
Yeah,
he's trying to get votes, dude. He's trying to get votes.
I get it. But, like, that doesn't make it okay. It's making it a bigger issue, right? It's just like this. This is like a small percentage of things that are happening.
Right, but it's
also, it's like affects children. Children are watching this.
I get that. And
impressionable young children.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree with that.
Let them do whatever you want, because Todd is 40 years old and knows exactly what he's doing.
I'm not saying do whatever you want. I'm saying you should wait till you're 18 to have those types of hormones. I totally, wholeheartedly agree that you should wait. What I'm saying is that it's funny to see the opinions of older white males give so much of a fuck about this. That's all I'm saying. It's a little strange.
Dude, I'm sure older black males have.
Okay, but okay, so look at Trump.
Older Hispanic males
being
have.
On board with QAnon is no different than fucking Biden being on board with trans, somebody on TikTok with trans. It's pretty much the same thing. He's going fully left and Trump's going fully right. It's to get votes, in my mind. That's my opinion. Is that right? No, it's fucked up. It's fucked up that our politicians need to do this to get votes, but that's the way I see it. Biden doesn't give a fuck about those people, okay? Just like Trump doesn't give a fuck about anyone who's in QAnon. Am I right?
Yes.
Right, that's the fucking point that I'm trying to get. We could go down this fucking rabbit hole for days. I'm not a trans. I don't fucking know how these people feel. I feel bad for these people that they have to deal with.
It sucks.
It's
life's hard enough.
And I wish Matt Walsh would just fucking say something like that, because I want to slap him in the face for being so poignant about his fucking ideals. Fuck that guy. That's how I feel. Because just like fuck Trump for going with the QAnon people, and just like fuck Biden for trying to get votes for being happy with the trans.
It wasn't the point of his documentary, is not his ideology.
I didn't see the documentary, so.
I know. On the podcast with Joey, kind of came across like that. But I promise you, if you watch the documentary, it's not going to make you more right wing. All it's going to do is highlight a really fucking important point that I was wondering about. And it's, why can't they define what a woman is?
Right.
And it's that they're people that are supportive of transgender. I don't even want to say transgenders, because I don't know if all of them are supporting this kind of energy push. I mean, maybe to some degree, but some of them are probably like, hey, this is kind of annoying for me. Yeah. Honestly, I'm just trying to live my life and not be like highlighted. I don't want to be in the spotlight. I just want to live.
Yeah.
But they couldn't answer the question, what is a woman? And he went to like a lot of legitimate experts that should know. And it was just like the breaking down of definitions of language and understanding of reality. It was a little spooky. And that's the thing that I see with like the pronouns. You know, Jordan Peterson talked about them, you know. What is the truth anymore? And then we lead into the pandemic bullshit. It's like, we have to have truth.
Yeah. I would like to see the numbers when he was talking about suicide. And again, there's plenty of things. I'm a very open-minded person, dude. I agreed with when there was someone who took hormone blockers. It was the a man who took hormone blockers to become a woman, or it was a woman who it was a woman who had a double vasectomy.
That's right.
Who was talking at some college, and she was being called a fascist. Okay, that is absolutely wrong, and that's what I hate about the far left. That is not, that person is not a fascist. They're telling their story that I took hormone blockers and now I regret taking them. What is wrong with that? Those stories should be told. And again, yeah. I guess where I'm coming from with all of this is I don't understand it. And all I want to see is more empathy towards these people. And yes, I don't think that it should be, it's not a right or a wrong. It's a, we're trying to understand this and let's be more empathetic because I don't understand how these people feel.
Right.
That's what bugs me about it. It's the same fact that like right versus left pisses me off so much because we're all somewhere very close to center.
Often. Yeah.
Especially in a state like Montana where we live, like there's so many things that we agree on and we don't talk about the things that we agree on.
100%. And also remember, we're not really trying to find answers here. Okay.
Yeah.
We're reviewing another podcast.
Yeah.
And we're just a couple of guys that have zero expertise in 90% of the stuff that we hear on Rogan.
Totally.
But this is what 12 million other people are doing all the time on their own and just sitting and thinking about it.
I would like to see the numbers.
No, 12 million people download Rogan.
No. I'm saying I'd like to see the numbers because there was a lot of numbers thrown out by Matt Walsh about the amount of people that are going trans and trying to get these hormones. Where are those numbers at?
I mean, look, he probably inflated a lot of those.
It seemed like he was like, oh, millions. No, come on, dude. Really? Are there really millions of people that are trying to change their sex?
Trying to get COVID numbers and you believe that shit.
But that's what I'm saying.
So choose your side that you want to jump on with your fucking numbers about.
But I'm saying don't choose a side. I'm saying it's a fiery topic for people who aren't experiencing the issues that trans people are experiencing. And so I feel like a fucking asshole even trying to like explain what's right or wrong. But I know that it's a fucking problem. I get that.
Remember, when we're listening to the show, we kind of have to, at least unless we have like a real bad taste in our mouth for the person we're listening to, we got to take a bit of what the guest brings and be like, okay, let's assume that's true.
Yeah.
And then figure out what that means. Because a lot of people will think that. Right.
But I think that's a problem to assume the things that are said on any podcast are true. These are not journalists.
Yeah, but you can't believe anything ever anywhere you get it.
I believe Graham Hancock, motherfucker. I believe Graham Hancock all day long. Yeah, because those are my beliefs.
Yeah, me too. Well, but that's what we have to be careful.
And like, can we just laugh about it for a second? Because look, man.
That's what
let's fucking laugh about it for a second because we don't fucking know. We don't know. Joe Biden doesn't know. Matt Walsh doesn't know. People who are 12 years old don't know. They might think that they're a man or a woman. They don't fucking know yet. And I think that, to me, that's the fucking issue.
That's his point, though.
And I agree with that. I've agreed with that since we started talking about it.
Yeah, they can't know.
They can't know. They cannot know at that age. To my point, the thing that made the most sense to me that Matt Walsh talked about was about children. When he was 26, he didn't want kids.
The only issue I have is the stat on suicide. Yeah. If transgender children that don't get the support they need are killing themselves at a greater rate than the post-accidental transgender children, then just like the other guy that was about recycling the correct way, you have to pick the lower denominator there, right?
Yeah.
You have to. The people that suffer, whatever the least suffering and the least suicide is, answer out of this is the data that I want
yeah,
to support this.
Right. And where's that data?
And I don't want any other bias.
Right. Where's that data? That's fucking huge point. Because,
let's fucking get it.
Because what Matt was saying was that the data shows, and what, again, I don't know where this data is coming from. He was saying it was post, was yeah, more suicidal. Yeah. Is that true? I have no fucking idea.
Well, you got to think in a big uptick.
Don't you think if we just supported these people and were more empathetic towards them that the suicide rate would go down? Isn't that the issue?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
If they make major like surgical changes
no,
to
I'm
themselves.
Saying before, I'm saying
even
before.
Even if you support them.
I'm saying before they do that surgery.
But
trying
people
to,
think they're supporting them by encouraging them to have surgery.
Yeah.
What is the word support mean here then?
I know. I it kills me for these parents, man. That's all I can say about it. I just cannot imagine being in a situation where your son or daughter wants to be someone they're not, or someone they are, but they're not. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah, of course.
Of course that fucking parent is going to try and do everything they can. It is just a horrible, gut-wrenching feeling.
Or maybe ignore them because they're religious and they think it's stupid.
Well, religion fucks up all of these things we're talking about. That is a huge problem in my mind.
But that also doesn't mean that every
right
non-religious person should just agree with their kid.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying religion fucks this up because religion's saying there's a right way and there's a wrong way. That's fucked up.
Yeah.
There's no right or wrong.
I mean, parents have to work hard enough. They're not fucking psychologists.
I'm not saying you can figure it out. But what I'm saying is it's not a fucking black and white situation. And I'm no fucking scientist here, but it is not a black and white situation, dude. Yeah, it's crazy, man. I mean, it's good to talk about, right?
Yeah.
That's the point of this. It's good to talk about. I'll just bring it back. I don't have any other opinion other than I think that it seems to me more advantageous for these children to wait until they're older to make that decision. That's all I can say.
I'll say this.
What else can you say about it?
I want, period, the kids to ultimately have the best life that they can have. However the decision is made, and at whatever point they transition or don't transition, with the correct information and education and also support.
Right.
But most of that comes from guidance of adults. And
yeah.
I don't know if it's like in the choice of the child. That's the closest I've got. And it could be sparked, you know? It's like, hey, I prefer this. And then there's a lot of listening, understanding, education, you know. That's the only thing I can think. Otherwise, fuck me, dude.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. It's a tough one, man. I just don't know enough about it because I've never felt that way. And that's, you know, we're not fucking experts here. We're just trying to pick up the pieces.
Dude, we're just normal people reflecting on a thing that everybody listened to and makes sense of it. This is all we do here.
I'll just come back to trying to understand these people. If you were someone who thought so strongly that you didn't want to be a man or a woman, all I would want of myself is to try and understand those people, even though I can't understand those people.
100%.
That's it. I just want some understanding. It's like when you're depressed and I'm depressed, I can understand that because I've been through it.
There's
so many fucking people in this world who have not been through this situation. There's not enough information out there for us to make a real decision on it. I think that's the problem. We just don't know. And all we can do is fucking be understanding.
There's a lot of confusion this week.
It is, man.
A lot of things on the JRE this week.
Goddamn shit
that we
show.
Need to pull together. Is history as long as it should be? Should you even bother recycling or educate your kids? And where do you stand on them changing their gender? Jesus, could we have had like 5 comedians on this week? Seriously.
The fan has been hit with so much shit.
Love this. Well, guys, I hope you, and gals, and transgenders, I hope you stuck with us to the end of this and make sense of it how you can, but try to stay open-minded. That's what we like to do.
Yeah.
That's what Joe likes to do. And we love you.
That's what's up, dude. Stay open-minded because if you're open-minded, you can your mind can change in beautiful ways.
Yep. Awesome. Well, fuck. I didn't even
signing
know where to
up,
go from
signing
this.
Off, I guess. Much love, people.
See you next week, guys and gals. Later.